61.
Yeah.
Feel the reverence which is meet for this occasion, to lay aside a brother, to send him forth with the authority from the church, as recognized by Scripture and by God to go and preach the gospel, which is the most precious commodity that we have. As we transition to our ordination service, I'm going to ask Brother Philip if you would begin the service with prayer, please.
Merciful, gracious Heavenly Father, we come to this day thanking you once again for all the many blessings that you've given us. We ask the Lord that you be with us in this service. We pray, Lord, that you be pleased with the actions that we take here. We pray, dear Lord, that the Spirit would be upon us the service, that the Spirit would be upon Brother Howard in the days ahead. Ask you, Lord, that you would guide and lead us. Peace and comfort in this life. Give us the word of medicine in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Philip. We appreciate the prayers that you all have offered at the same time as Brother Philip, or as we've seen this day approaching. Fuller's Chapel Primitive Baptist Church has recognized that the Lord has put a gift to preach in Brother Howard, and a burden to do so. We know from Jeremiah's experience that when he had decided that he was not going to speak on the things of God, as the brother preached this weekend, that manifested itself to Jeremiah as a fire shut up in the belly. And for those of us that have experienced that, we believe that we've experienced that fire. We know the weight and the burden that comes with that. Reason would say that we don't set the expectation before God's people that when a man is ordained that life becomes a bed of roses. It certainly does not. There's many, many challenges that come to that calling. But God is more powerful than those challenges. He's more gracious and more loving than our difficulties. But we're thankful for the Lord giving that gift. And I know that we all pray that the Lord will bless Brother Howard to exercise that gift to the full ability, not of himself. I almost said to the best of his ability, but we want more than that, don't we? We want him to exercise that gift to the power of God and not to the power and wisdom of man. So we were preemptive in our sitting arrangements, asking to form the presbytery. We appreciate you all doing that, being expedient with us about that. So we'll start off by asking Brother Tanner Howe. He was appointed by Fuller's Chapel to be the spokesperson for Fuller's Chapel. So Brother Tanner, I will ask you, is the church satisfied with the presbytery?
Good moderator, the church is satisfied with the presbytery.
Thank you, Brother Tanner. Appreciate that. Our first order of business is to elect a moderator for the ordination service. What is the mind of the presbytery for the ward?
I would nominate, make a motion that you serve as the moderator. There you go.
Thank you, Brother Ward. There's a motion and second for Elder Gary Rhodes to be elected as moderator of the ordination. Is there any discussion on that by the presbytery? Then all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
If any is opposed, please signify by saying aye. Thank you. Next is for the presbytery to select a clerk for the ordination proceedings. What is the mind of the presbytery on that?
Well, Gary, I'd like to nominate Brother Danny Loy to be the clerk.
Thank you, Brother Philip. Motion for Brother Danny Loy to be the motion and second. Brother Danny Loy to be the clerk of the presbytery. Is there any discussion on that matter? If not, then we'd ask the presbytery, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
If any are opposed, please signify the same way. Brother Danny, if you would. Brother Danny, you have a copy of what I have. To try to make that easier for you.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Anything you need, let us know.
All right.
Thank you, Brother Danny. All right, next we will deal with the interrogation of the candidate the ordination prayer and the delivering of the charge. Presbytery, I feel compelled to say the presbytery is not compelled to honor these wishes. I suspect you will. But Brother Howard has requested for Elder Steve Jackson to offer the ordination prayer, for Elder Mark Green to interrogate the candidate, and for Elders James Isaacs and Adam Green to deliver the charge. What is the mind of the presbytery? Brother Matt.
So moved. Second.
Thank you. Motion by Brother Matt, seconded by Brother Paul to honor those wishes. All in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
If anyone is opposed, please give that same sign. Motion carries on that as well. Thank you. With that, we will ask, brethren, if I get out of the way, y'all please jump in and correct me. But with that, I guess we will ask Brother Tanner one more time if the church, as spokesperson of the church, or is the church satisfied with the proceedings of the presbytery at this point?
Yes, sir, they are.
Thank you, Brother Tanner. With that in mind, Brother Tanner, I'm going to ask you if you would deliver Brother Howard to the presbytery and allow him to come be seated. And Brother Mark, I will turn it over to you for the interrogation.
In the scripture, the only required activities are fasting and prayer and the laying on of hands. And throughout history, we have come to add to that appropriately, I believe, and with the interrogation or questioning of the brother, and then also with the charge that's preached to him. And that has been the practice of the churches as long as there have been churches on this continent, at least. So, Brother Tanner, are you satisfied that Brother Howard has a gift to preach?
Yes, sir.
Are you satisfied, I'm talking about you personally, are you satisfied that he has a compelling urge within him to do that, a burning within him to preach the gospel?
Yes, sir.
As far as your observation has been concerned, has he conducted himself in an upright and godly manner as long as you've known him?
Yes, sir, he has.
Has the doctrine that he's preached before you in your hearing been that which is in keeping with the scriptures, sound doctrine?
Yes, sir.
And Brother Howard, I've known you a long time. I'm not asking these questions to try to trip you up or anything by that, but I also know that you're an intelligent young man and your understanding of the scriptures is considerable. I'm going to ask you some questions that deal mainly with the order of the church, more so than the doctrine. I think most of the people here would have heard you preach salvation by grace and understand that you believe those principles. When our people separated from the missionary Baptists, there were certain items that they delineated that were involved in that separation that we were declaring against and saying that we would have no fellowship with. First of those was mission boards. Now, as succinctly as you can, I don't want a long drawn out answer, but tell me why you are opposed to mission boards.
A board is a
auxiliary to the church that's not in the scripture, the Lord didn't put in the church, and the church got along with fine for hundreds of years. And there are other doctrinal issues that led to the desire to create mission boards that I also disagree with, but that's the same thing.
Good answer. The next issue that they, activity, practice that they took issue with was Sunday schools. Why would you be personally opposed to Sunday schools?
For, first of all, the same reason, we don't want to add to the order that God put into the family and into the church on how to raise up children and how to teach the children. And that the church is for coming together for the preaching of the gospel, which is to be preached in a level that the youngest that can understand it and can feed the whole congregation. And I would be against trying to split up the congregation by ages where someone can come in and lead people astray because they're divided out. They don't have that normal level of protection they have normally. Also, would strenuously disagree with sisters teaching, have a teaching role in the church, a speaking role in the church. And it's not the scriptural order of gospel preaching that is given to the church.
All right, thank you. Now, when people who were nominally numbered among the Primitive Baptists have been recognized that genuine old Baptists were never going to tolerate Sunday schools, they begin trotting out false Sunday schools. Something, forgive me for my pointedness, but a skunk by any other name still smells the same. All right? And people have come up with what sometimes get called organized Bible studies. All right? Why is that? Now, I'll say this. That's been very confusing because people sometimes hear us argue against those activities without our being specific enough. And I've long said that if you ask the wrong questions, you're going to get the wrong answers. So that's not my question. My question to you is, when the church meets as the church, not talking about what we do in our homes, not talking about when we come together for making ice cream, when the church meets as the church, how are the services to be conducted?
Singing, preaching, and praying. As the order that we've been handed down by faithful men to us, that's what I hope to hold on to and pass down to the men that follow me. It's simple enough and sufficient. That's how I believe the worship service.
So when you're Grandpa Howard, and our roles are reversed here, and there'll be some young man that you're questioning, you're going to ask him and tell him that what is to be maintained in the church, the true church, is preaching, praying, and singing in our worship services.
You're not talking about the ordinances, right?
No. I'm talking about the order of the services.
That's correct.
Yes. All right. Now, another things that the church declared against in those early days was were secret orders, such as the Masonic Lodge and other similar to that. Why would we be opposed to such organizations as that? Now, what people outside the church do is their business. In the church, by people who are members within the church, why have Primitive Baptists been opposed to their members being connected with such organizations as that?
Because darkness is for people with evil works, and the only reason you want to hide in a secret society, I think, is if you're trying to cover something up. But you can't be subject to the discipline of the church if you're involved in another organization that keeps secrets and doesn't come out in the open in the daylight with what they're saying or doing or standing for. And plus, a lot of the organizations, if I know, they're parachurch organizations anyway, so they're not. It's confusion to have them alongside the church, or like basically competing as a church.
Good answer. I hope all of you can hear this. All right, about 120, 25 years ago, there was a considerable disturbance among the Primitive Baptists over the organ question. We're talking about musical organs because those were being brought into the church. And there was a division about that time within the Primitive Baptists over the organ question. And the Orthodox brethren, our brethren, held to the principle that there were not to be musical instruments other than the human voice that were to be used in the worship service. Now, prove that for me.
The example and the commands we have in the New Testament to sing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, it's singing songs one to another. We're never told to play music or use instruments that aren't children of God, or our voices, right? So I think that's additional and a distraction.
All right. You don't have any problem with my playing a clarinet or a trumpet, but just not part of the worship service.
Not in the church.
Not in the church, okay.
Sure.
Not in the church building, for that matter. All right. Now, I've not asked any doctrinal questions because I... assuming that you're sound in the doctrine, I think the brethren know that you are. But I will ask this, because this is a little bit of a touchy issue by some calling themselves Primitive Baptists. Is gospel faith the only acceptable evidence to the church of regeneration?
It's not the only evidence. Talking about for the church, for membership in the church, to come
forward,
regeneration is a prerequisite to enter into the church.
Yes.
And so we need to see fruits meet for repentance. We need to see the work of God in the heart manifested by works of righteousness, by kindness, by hospitality, by long suffering, and all the other fruits of the Spirit to see that they're a child of God.
So if you were to encounter some man that you didn't know from low to cold, and that person was evidencing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, temperance, that you would have judged that person as being a child of God absent any knowledge of that person having faith?
Yes.
Okay, so if you perceive that an individual had the other fruit aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, you would adjudge him to be a child of God based upon those, even though you did not know anything regarding his faith.
Brother Mark, I believe that by nature we're totally depraved. We don't have any fruit of the Spirit. So I believe that if there is one fruit of the Spirit, now I'm not a great judge. I'm not always a great judge by other people. I can't see their heart. But if I do am convinced and persuaded that what I do see is one manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, I'm satisfied that they're a child of God.
All right, thank you. All right, one last question. If the brethren see fit here within in a few minutes to lay hands on you, the brother to offer the prayer, will you promise me personally, will you promise this congregation of people and these brethren that are in the presbytery, that should you ever become dissatisfied with the faith and order of the old line Primitive Baptists, that you would quietly leave and go among people who did believe those things and not disturb the church by trying to bring those things in? Will you promise me that?
I make that promise to you and everyone here.
Thank you. I'm satisfied, brother.
Thank you, Brother Martin. Is the presbytery satisfied with that interrogation, or are there any other questions that you would like to ask of Brother Howard? Well, Judge,
I make a motion to proceed with the ordination.
Thank you, Brother James. Motion to proceed with the ordination, satisfactory to the second. Thank you. Is there any discussion on that matter? If not, then all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
If any are opposed, then please answer with a like answer. Motion is carried, and we will proceed on to the ordination prayer. We're going to ask for Brother Howard to kneel at the chairs here, everyone, all the presbytery to gather around, and for Brother Steve to offer the ordination prayer. This is in the biblical pattern that Paul talked to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and he reminded him of the duty given to him and of the gospel charge given to him, and he said that was given by the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Brethren, I am very much a Bible literalist, and I'm of a persuasion that those laying on of hands is a literal thing for us to do. We can shake hands and hug Brother Howard during the handshake afterwards, but I'm going to ask for y'all, if you would, to allow him to continue kneeling and walk by and lay hands on Brother Howard in that biblical model. So with that, we'll ask for you all to gather around Brother Howard. Brother Tanner, if you would, maybe remove one of those chairs. And Brother Steve, one of the presbyteries, right?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, the weight of this day, the weight of this calling is felt upon the back of Brother Howard. It's felt upon the backs of all that have gathered around him to lay hands on him. Father, we pray that you would give him grace and mercy to bear up under the weight of this ministry. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you would dispatch heaven, from heaven, wisdom. He would know how to go in and out among this so great a people. That his ministry would be a blessing to thy people. And churches would prosper under his leadership. Thy people would be fed. And he might be a catalyst to repentance for those that need to turn from wicked ways. And God, we pray that you would bless his preaching as if fire would come down from heaven, the Holy Ghost, that his preaching would have such an impact in the lives of thy people, that the gospel would continue to have free course in the community where he serves. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you would protect him. Keep him from evil, Lord. Deliver him from temptation. Grant him strength, Lord, to continue to persevere in his ministry. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless the churches where he serves. Bless everyone that would go to make them up. Bless them, Heavenly Father, with the spirit and with the kind and tender heart of this dear brother. With the liberty of his calling, bless the churches where he serves and pray. And, O Lord, we would beg thee to protect not only him and the churches where he serves, but his precious family and children. Lord God of heaven, protect them from all the fiery darts of Satan that are hurled out here in the world. And unfortunately, sometimes those fiery darts that are fired within the confines and walls of the New Testament church. False accusations, all of those things hurled. We pray, Father, you would give him courage and strength to stand in those difficult hours. Oh, Lord God, help us all. Father, we would beg thee now to go with him, prosper him, and bless him in every respect. We thank you, God, for calling men out of the walks of life to preach the gospel. Thank you, God. And thank you for the great sign that we have in our area, the men that are showing gifts. In obedience to those gifts, we thank you, God, and we beg you to bless them as well. Thank you for raising up men among us. Mara, forgive us of our shortcomings. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, brethren. I thank the Lord for Brother Steve's beautiful, beautiful prayer. The weightiness of the cause of Christ and of the church and of the gospel obviously always deserves our reverence. And may God be praised for such a reverential prayer. Brother Tanner, we're going to ask for you to please seat Sister Kate with Brother Howard for the preaching of the charge. And as he does that, I'm going to turn it over to Brother James Isaacs and then Brother Adam for them to preach the charge as they're led of God to do so.
An interest in your prayers as I try to do this. Most of you perhaps know I've not been able to speak for about the last month. And I'm going to make this attempt. Brother Howard, I may not have known you quite as long as Brother Mark, but we're close. I remember a particular Friday afternoon when coincidentally you and your father were at a gas station in eastern Oklahoma. We were all going to the meeting in Broken Arrow and you and Brother William wanted to ride with me and did. That was even the time I got your name straight, knew which one was Howard and which one was William. But I had a delightful trip that evening with those two little boys. Brother Howard and I made other trips together. I remember one time Sister Katie, he went with me, he and Brother Philip, on a trip, and there was the pastor of the church where we went, did his dead level best to fix Brother Howard up with a young sister over there, but Howard was waiting on you, so he showed no interest. I've watched you grow as a preacher, and I'm very thankful for your faithfulness to the cause, your faithfulness to the Word of God. A bishop, then, must be blameless. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now that's a long list of qualifications. And in the whole of that long list, there is only one that is not under your control. Being apt to teach is a gift of God. But all those others are things that you can be or you may not be. And it's a pretty long list of things that you must be. You must be blameless. You must be vigilant. You must be sober. That doesn't mean just as opposed to being drunk on chemicals. That's the tendency of your personality is to be that you're given to being sober. Now, Brother Howard, the work of the ministry is not always that of a pastor. Paul wrote to Brother Timothy and said, do the work of an evangelist. There's a difference in an evangelist and a pastor, and we're not going to deal with that a whole lot this afternoon. But whatever it is that God has called you to do, you ought to do with all diligence. And in order to do it with all diligence, you must know how it is to be done, and you must know what to preach. I cannot overemphasize to you the importance of diligent and faithful, prayerful study of God's Word. When I sat where you sit, which has been minus 2 months, 50 years, much younger actually than you are now, older brother cautioned me that I needed to study now while I'm young and my mind will retain it. And I'm going to confess this. I thought you all just don't know how smart I am. I'll always be able to study and hold on because my memory's just that good. Well, 50 years down the road, I can tell you they were right. So I know you're smarter than I am. Everybody knew it. It doesn't hurt me to admit it. I know you've got a wonderful mind. You've got the ability to commit things to memory quickly, and you've got the ability to learn complicated things well. Use it now. The day will come when it just gets tougher. And I know that you have to deal with distractions in your life today that don't trouble me. I've been to your house, and I know it's a peaceful place and a lovely place, but I know it's a busy place. And Sister Kate once told me I'm always welcome as long as I won't be judgmental. And I've been able to be that way about it. And always been happy to be there. But it never been there for very long at any one time. But there are going to be distractions that you know, don't bother me much anymore. But there is the fact that you need to know what the Bible teaches. One of the requirements that Paul wrote here is that you're not to be a novice. But you've been at this long enough, you're not a novice. You've had some experience, you've had some opportunity to exercise. And you've had some unique experiences. Your time in the military gave you exposure to men you never would have known, ministers, some good, able ministers that you never would have known otherwise, and you've been able to learn from them. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now the phrase before that is, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of me or of God. Don't ever be ashamed to be a Primitive Baptist. Don't ever be ashamed to be just what we are. Now sometimes we act in a way that people ought to be ashamed of us, and we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. But the testimony of sound men, we ought never be ashamed of. And it's your responsibility to see to it that you preach in such a way that no one ever need be ashamed to acknowledge that Brother Howard is a preacher among us. Now, be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. That sounds like a terrible thing to impose on a young brother. but there's a positive side to that. And you can't be faithful without having some affliction. The nature of humanity is such that conflict will arise. There will be people who are not always happy with what you preach or how you preach or the positions that you take. Ministers are compared to shepherds. And I know I'm not an experienced shepherd of natural sheep, but I did work on a farm that had a few sheep for a couple of years. I know a little bit. The biggest thing I know about sheep is you move them with a feed bucket, not with a stick. If you'll feed those sheep faithfully and regularly, they will follow you anywhere they have the physical ability to go. But if you're not feeding them and you try to drive them with a stick, they'll scatter. And when they scatter, some of them will run off bluffs, some of them will get in ditches, some of them will get in briars, and the sheep suffer greatly if the shepherd tries to drive. They'll shake the feed bucket, and they'll follow. Brother Howard, you need to set a good example in your home, in your public demeanor. Part of what I read from Paul's letter is that he must have a good report of them that are without. Now, I want to caution you that you can have things happen in your life so that people say ugly things about you that are not true. And that could be the case, that your ministry in a place would be destroyed by false report. You need to do everything you can not to give opportunity for folks to slander you, not to give them something to say, look what he's doing, I told you he's guilty of this or he's guilty of that. Sister Kate. A lot of times, Brother Howard's going to need to go see about somebody, and you need to go with him. Not because they need to talk to you, but because he doesn't need to be there without his wife. A lot of times, Brother Howard's going to be detained and be late getting home, and he's going to need to do that, and you're going to need to be understanding when he gets there. I told somebody recently about an experience in our life back before we had telephones. I don't mean just cell phones, before we had telephones. There was a brother there at home that was dying. And his son came to my classroom at school and said, could you come by the hospital as soon as school is out this afternoon? Well, I did. Sandy and I had plans. And things I was supposed to do for her that afternoon, and I didn't get home in time. And she wasn't real happy with me, just to be blunt, when I walked in the front door. Where have you been? What's been going on? Well, I had to explain, you know, that she understood that, and it was fine. Sometimes you just have to cut him a little slack. And I say to you, and all compassion, Sister Kate, you're really a victim. The Lord called Brother Howard and burdened him. He didn't call you, and he didn't give you that same burden. But I know you love the church, and the church loves you, and you're going to have to just be patient and understand that sometimes his responsibility in the house of God is going to interfere with your plans and things you wanted, and that's just the way it has to be. Brother Howard, there's a mistake that I see ministers make, is they want to be everything. They want to be the preacher, they want to be the song leader, they want to be the prayer, and they won't be in charge. And they don't need deacons because they won't do the deacon's work. And they don't want a custodian because I won't do that. They just want to do everything. But there is in the Bible for the church, as with any successful business operation, a clear, distinct division of labor.
Right.
Forget the deacon's work, let them do it. Don't try to be a deacon, you don't have time. You be a shepherd. Now, the deacons are to help with visiting the sick, but the sick want the preacher to come. And if they ask you, you go. And you pray with them. And God will hear the prayer that the elder prays when he visits the sick. So that's very important. And there are some decisions that are made by the church that need to be guided by the pastor. Church discipline decisions, the pastor needs to be much involved. He needs to be very careful, very cautious. The worst thing you can do is to exercise church discipline simply as a knee-jerk reaction. When there's a problem, you take time to pray and to consider what needs to be done. And don't do it by knee-jerk, and do it by faithful consideration of the teaching of the Scripture and the facts of the case. And there's some things, Brother Howard, I want you to forget. Okay? It'd be a real good idea when you're serving a church to forget what color the carpet on the floor of the church house is. You don't care. All right? You really don't care how the dining room operates. If some want plates of china and some want plates of paper, you don't care. Let them work those things out. Stay out of it. You only get, Brother Howard, so many books. Don't shoot them up on stuff that you don't need to be involved in. I know this is a terrible use of phraseology, but keep your powder dry for matters that affect the real health of the church. The discipline, the order, the doctrine of the church. And if you're not prone to get involved in the other little things that folks like to fuss about, then when there's a discussion of what to do about a disciplinary matter, your voice will have much more weight than if you've been involved in every discussion that's come up leading up to that. Now, Brother Howard, if you will be good to the old Baptist will be good to you. I say that because God's Word teaches that. I say that because my experience teaches me that. And I say that to encourage you. There are going to be days when you're going to be weighted down with concern and care. And there are going to be days of rejoicing. There are going to be days when you feel like the Lord's been so good to us in the church and in my home that it's all worthwhile. And it's all been a productive and worthwhile endeavor. Brother Howard, I pray that God will bless you for many years and that you will stay faithful to the cause and be an instrument of great good in his service. But it's greatly up to you to keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's a key ingredient in pastoral success. Keep yourself unspotted. May God bless you, bless your home, watch over you, and give you that bit you need that you may be able to stand on the wall of Zion and speak to the edification of the church of God and to the upbuilding of his kingdom while you have a being in this world is my prayer.
Amen.
I appreciate the opportunity to get to share a few things from the Word of God with you. And a lot of this, you won't remember. I remember Brother James and Brother Dad preaching my charge, and the only part of it I could remember afterwards were both of them telling me not to harm the old Baptists. That part I did remember. So I recognize that there's a lot coming at you in a short amount of time. First, I want you to know I love you. I love you both. And I believe the Lord has given you a good gift, and a gift that will be useful to the people of God. When the Apostle Paul had his last visit with the elders of the church at Ephesus, he told them in Acts 20, said in verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." He says, take heed to yourself and take heed to the flock. He said to feed the church of God. The singular most important activity that you have as a minister of the gospel is to feed God's people. Amen. And to feed them from the Word of God. And that's going to require intention on your part. One, intention knowing the Word of God, but also intention in feeding. There are times that yes, God will give you a burden to preach on something during the last song of the song service before you preach. But that is often not the case. And when you see, the taking heed leads to the feeding. And when you see that the flock needs this, then study it and pray for wisdom and proceed to preach on it. There is a need for an intentional diet in giving those things that make up all the counsel of God. And when you feel like that you've been supposed to study on this, and you've been studying on it the last couple of weeks, but in that very last song God says, no, today I want you to preach on this, then you go ahead and preach on the thing God just gave you. But realize that the Lord has given you a mind to use it. To take heed to the flock and to preach to them. And the specific thing that you're to feed them is from the Word of God. And the better that you know this, the better that you know this book and the things that are contained in it, the better that you're going to be able to be in sharing it and explaining it to them and giving the sense of it and telling them how to apply it in life. Feed the church of God. The one single most important job that you have is to feed the church of God. Another job, though, that you have, Brother Howard, is to protect the house of God. And your options in doing that are somewhat limited. But the place that you have the most influence over is wherever God calls you to serve, is to monitor the pulpit. Now, if I never check any of the expiration dates on the food in my house, and I really can't pay much attention to what's going on around me, and stop signs are maybe not, and I just blow right through them, and I'm relatively careless with things that are dangerous around my house, knives and guns and things of that nature, I'm probably not the person that you want keeping your kids for a weekend. Brother Howard, if a minister, if God forbid, if I get to where I'm messing with dangerous stuff or showing bad judgment or not really taking heed to whether or not something is appropriate for the people of God, then you need to not let me preach to the people. Amen. If you, in the same way that you wouldn't let me babysit the kids, don't let me stand in front of God's people and potentially cause harm. If you can't trust my judgment, then you can't trust me to speak to the people that you're called on to protect. And if I don't like that, that's my problem. I'll just have to get over it. All right? Because this is the place that you have the most influence over. I would also encourage you, as you take heed to the flock, to adapt to the needs of the congregation. Communication is a skill. And as you and I go on in life, we can get intentionally better about communicating and about adapting our communication to the people of God and the particular needs that they have. We're not to adapt what we preach to the people of God in terms of only preaching something that somebody might like, but we are to adapt in terms of making sure that we feed it in a way that's edible to them. The Apostle Paul said over in the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, if I can find the place that I'm looking for, he said, though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. He said, to the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. That's you saving them. You being the active Savior in those particular cases by the ministry that God gives you. Through the effectual application of the Word and feeding the people of God, you could save somebody's marriage, Brother Howard. You could save somebody from being shipwrecked. You could save somebody from getting so confused in doctrine that they wander away from the church. And so in doing what you can to adapt to the congregation and being all things to all men, there are ways you can save folks. Not to have no immortal glory, I know you understand, but there are ways that you can save folks. Over in the book of Titus, I'm sorry, in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to Timothy, said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier. The activity that's happened today puts some necessary limitations on the rest of your life. You're not going to have as much time for hobbies. There is very likely to be a limit on how far you could or should go professionally, because the more they give you, the more of you that they expect. There's going to be some limitations on you that wouldn't be on someone not called to the ministry. But they're godly limitations. And they're worthwhile. And they're ones that are imposed on us so that you can be useful in the house of God. I want to go to one other place. Over in 1 Peter. It says in verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 3, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, speaking of your wife. Brother James talked about how Sister Kate's not being the one that's called to the ministry, but she's very much affected by it. Sister Kate, for you, I don't know how thick your skin is naturally, but I will tell you, just knowing a little bit about a preacher's wife, you're going to have to make it even thicker. Even if you've got the thickest skin in the room right now, it's going to have to be even thicker, because there will be things that you see and things that you hear that will run the risk of making you angry for Brother Howard's sake. And you're going to have to just commend it to God. And to just, and to not let yourself be pulled into the bitterness that can naturally come from observing that. There's also going to be some need for Brother Howard to travel to meetings. Because he's very quickly going to get in a situation that almost the only preaching he hears on a regular basis is his. And he's going to need to hear preaching. But Brother Howard, you're going to have to dwell with her according to knowledge. And there's a balance in that as well. You're going to have to go some, because you're going to need to hear other preaching and recharge your battery and be around brethren. But you can go too much and be gone too much in a way that detracts from her and detracts from the home. Pray to God for wisdom in that and dwell with her, exactly what the scriptures say, dwell with her according to knowledge. I will, in a sense, though, echo what Brother James said. The old Baptists have been far better to me than I've been to them. You're going to be surrounded by people who want God to bless you abundantly. When I was driving last night, I was coming back from Little Rock. I stopped and prayed for the four men that are exercising in our general area. And I asked God if he would to bless you all to preach far better than me or any of these other brethren have preached. And do so in a way that would use you in a way that would bring revival. That's going to continue to be my prayer, Lord, to bless your ministry and those other ministries in that way. And I'm going to keep praying. Know that I love you. Know the people of God love you. And that we desire the Lord to bless you abundantly.
I reckon we will all amen those beautiful words that were preached in those charges. You can tell that they were heartfelt. You can tell they were from men that have a great respect for Brother Howard and Sister Kate and have known them for a long time. Brother Tanner, is the church satisfied with the proceedings of the presbytery?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Brother Tanner. When Brother Danny, as the clerk, is ready, we'll have the reading of the minutes. Sorry, excuse me.
The Presbytery Minute. At the request of Fuller's Chapel, Primitive Baptist Church of North Little Rock, Arkansas, who voted in conference to ordain Brother Howard Heffington to the office of elder, we, the brethren named below, were called to order and formed a presbytery for the purpose of ordaining Brother Howard. Previously to this assembly, Fuller's Chapel Church appointed Brother Tanner Howell to be the church spokesman. Order of business that was preceded was first to elect moderator. Elder Gary Rhodes was elected to serve as moderator of the presbytery. The second item, to elect clerk. Elder Danny Loy was elected to serve as the clerk of the presbytery. Third, motion was made and seconded and carried that the wishes of the candidate be honored with regard to the ordination prayer, interrogation, and the charge. Those wishes were for Elder Steve Jackson to offer the ordination prayer, for Elder Mark Green to interrogate the candidate, and for Elders James Isaac and Adam Green to preach the charge. Fourth item, the moderator inquired of the spokesman as to whether the host church was satisfied with the existing presbytery in the work to this point. The spokesman responded that the church was satisfied. Item number two, the spokesman delivered the candidate to the presbytery for examination. laying on of hands, ordination, prayer, and charge. The candidate was examined by Elder Mark Green on the subjects. Brother Tanner expressed that Brother Howard is sound in his doctrine, meets the qualifications of elders. Brother Mark questioned on items such as matters of order, including mission boards and Sunday schools are not part of the established activities of the church. Brother Howard replied, these are not in the gospel order given to the church, including divisions of the body by age or by use of sisters in the order of the church. Next, Brother Mark questioned regarding the order of the worship service. Brother Howard responded in the manner of preaching, praying, and singing. Brother Mark asked, why are we against secret orders? Brother Howard responded that darkness is to hide the deeds and actions, and those orders provide confusion to the actions of members. Brother Mark then questioned regarding the use of musical instruments, to which Brother Howard stated that we are to sing and make melody with our hearts and not to use musical instruments. Brother Mark asked about evidence of regeneration, to which Brother Howard responded that the fruits of kindness or the Spirit are evidence of regeneration. By nature, we are depraved, and any show of fruit of the Spirit shows evidence of being a child of God. Brother Mark then asked if Brother Howard feels that the church needs to be changed. If he feels the church needed to be changed, would he try to change the church or to leave it as it is? Brother Howard agreed to dismiss himself from the church and leave her as is. Brother Howard said that he promised to leave the church as Christ established her. Motion and second was made to proceed with the ordination. Motion carried. The next item, number four, elders and deacons gathered around Brother Howard, and Elder Steve Jackson uttered a most humble prayer, begging God to bless Brother Howard in his ministry. Then each member of the presbytery proceeded to lay hands upon Brother Howard. Then Brother Howard's helpmate, Sister Kate Heffington, was then seated with him, and the charge was delivered. Elder James Isaac proceeded to charge Brother Howard. Brother James recalled past experiences with Brother Howard and Sister Kate. Brother James presented the qualifications of the office of elder as instructed by the Apostle Paul. Elder Isaacs then highlighted that being apt to teach is the only one that must be given by God. Elder Isaacs then stressed the importance of diligent, faithful, prayerful study of the Scriptures. Study in at his youthful age is an advantage that he has, and to use it to the utmost. Learn the Scriptures while young to better recall as age becomes a limiting factor. Brother James then admonished Brother Howard to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel by the power of God. That ministers are all shepherds, and sheep move by being fed, not driven by sticks. Don't drive the sheep, but lead them with feed. Ministers must be have a good report in the community. Avoid the appearance of evil. Sister Kate was encouraged to be available to go with Brother Howard if needed at times. She should be patient when needs of the church interferes with family obligations. There's a clear and distinct division of work. Don't try to do all things. Use the deacons as and let them do their job as described also in Scripture. Pray over all situations. Follow Scripture authority dealing with matters of discipline. Pick your battles. Don't get involved in every little matter. Save your bullets for the weightier matters. Be good to the old Baptist, and they will be good to you. Stay faithful to the cause. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Stand on the wall of Zion to the edification of the Church of God. Elder Adam Green then delivered his charge. Remember not to harm the old Baptist. He expressed his love for Brother Howard and Sister Kate. Take heed to yourself and the flock. You have been made overseer, feed the flock of God, follow the leadership of the Spirit, study those things that are needful, and also be mindful of the leadership of the Spirit, even if the subject changes during the last song of the singing portion. Protect the house of God, monitor the pulpit of the church that you care for. Don't let men that you don't see as sound preach to the flock. Communication with God's people is necessary. Be able to adapt to the needs of the people in order to reach them with the truth in your ministry. Be all things to all men. There are necessary limitations placed on you. Be a soldier as God has called you. Brother Adam then also expressed to Sister Kate is going to be affected by the call, but has not the one that was called. Be aware that you will hear and see things that you need to give to God, and encourage both that there should be balance in all that you both do as a family and in the work of the ministry. Brother Adam stated that he has and is praying for them as they go forward. And then item number 6, inquiry was made by the spokesman of the host church as to whether the church was satisfied with the work of the presbytery. The spokesman responded that the church was satisfied. That brings us to item 7, that the clerk read minutes, and we're waiting for them to be approved as read. If not, and then we'll finish up after that.
After hearing the reading of the minute, is the presbytery satisfied?
Move.
All right. Second?
Second.
Is there any discussion on that? Consider that minute to be approved, and Brother Steve, as the church clerk, will incorporate them into the church records. I think next we need a motion and second to dissolve the presbytery. We didn't vote on that motion. Thank you very much. I took that for granted. Thank you. All in favor of approving the minute, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say aye. Thank you very much. So now we will ask for a motion, second, to dissolve the presbytery and return Brother Howard to the floor as chaplain. As an elder. We have a motion and second. Any discussion? Then if you're in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
If you're any opposed, please say aye. We will consider the ordination service concluded. We're going to return Brother Howard and Sister Kate back to the church. I love you too, and your children so very much. I feel like I should say if we serve side by side or next door or 1,000 miles away, I'm always going to feel like a little piece of y'all is mine. I love you so very much. However I can help you, please let me know. I'm going to give you opportunity to shake hands with them and have a handshake. It'll be a little more difficult with our arrangements, but we'll ask you to follow the same pattern that we've used for the meeting this weekend, and we'll sing a song. How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds, we'll start that, Brother Steve, if you would. Brother Sonny. Thank you, Brother Sonny. I told you I was going to need your help. We have, if you will endure with me for one more time, I'm going to read the certificate of ordination. Now biblical practice, but Caesar requires this for performing wedding ceremonies and so forth. And we're going to ask for the presbytery. We'll have it over here on the table. Please sign the ordination certificate. We have a row for deacons, 2 rows or columns for elders, and also for the minute that Brother Danny has. If you would, please sign both of those. The ordination certificate says, "We, the undersigned elders and deacons of the Primitive Baptist Church, at the request of Fuller's Chapel, Primitive Baptist Church in North Little Rock, Arkansas, met with them on the 6th day of September 2025 for the purpose of ordaining Brother Howard Heffington to the full functions of the gospel ministry. After carefully examining Brother Heffington, we found him to be sound in doctrine and orderly in his walk, and to possess the scriptural qualifications of an elder. We then proceeded to set him apart to the full work of the gospel ministry by prayer and laying on of hands, and we hereby certify to his full authority to administer the ordinances of the church and to serve the church in any capacity which the Bible authorizes, where God has providence may cast his lot, and where prudence may dictate. And we pray God's blessings to attend his labors in the gospel. The church, the presbytery, and the candidate hold to the doctrine that God did before time personally and unconditionally choose in his Son a portion of the human race to be heirs of eternal glory, and predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son, but deny that God predestinated sin, that the atonement is special for the elect only and for the elect only, that all the elect will be regenerated in time by the direct and immediate work of the Holy Spirit in the heart, that the saints will all be preserved in Christ by grace to glory, that the Lord's children enjoy blessings and obedience in this life, which cannot be enjoyed otherwise, that baptism is by immersion, and the children of God are the only proper subjects, that the observance of the Lord's Supper and washing the saints' feet are to be observed in the churches and in the church until the second coming, the resurrection of the dead, and at the last day, the children of God to be raised to eternal life, happiness, and glory, and the unregenerated to be raised to eternal punishment. If the brother should depart from these principles, then these credentials are thereby nullified and made null and void. Done and signed the 6th day of September, 2025. So if you would, brethren, we'll put this on the table. I ask for you to sign both of them. If you need to come back later to allow the handshake to happen with our close proximity, we would ask you to do that. But we'll try to do that as swiftly as we can. We appreciate the church's good attendance and for your cooperation. We appreciate the work of the deacon and elders and helping us at Fuller's Chapel today. If you would, stand with us, and we'll be dismissed with a song and have our handshake. Brother Steve, if you would.
How sweet the name of
On behalf of Fuller Chapel Church, thank y'all so very much for being with us again. We know we're not done yet, Lord will. We have service tomorrow night. I combined 2 o'clock. We're up at our house tonight. Service tomorrow morning. I reckon Fuller Chapel will start at 10:30 in the morning.
Yes.
Any objections to that? We'll start at 10:30 in the morning. You are invited to our house tonight. It's supposed to be. We got announcements for meetings. I want to belabor everybody's attention span for the children. If there's any other word that has not been expressed already, you're welcome to. But I would ask that we be a little bit expeditious about it. Is there any other announcements or prayer requests?
Brother Gary?
Yes, sir.
Do you want to mention that we will have supper Thursday night at the same association beforehand?
Thank you. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Any other words?
Brother Gary?
Yes,
we'd
sir.
Just like to add Brother Joseph Shallows to the prayer.
Yes, he had brain surgery.
Well, he had a surgery to fix a hole in his skull. The bones there is deteriorated. He's also got to have another surgery to remove the mass there.
Yes. 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 And Brother Darren Owens, please pray for him. Yes. Yes. Anybody else?
Y'all come be with us Thursday night.
Sir, coming up this Thursday night. Brother Steve, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Our kind and gracious, never to be adored Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for one more laborer being sent into the harvest. Father, I confess my failure in praying that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers. Help me to be more faithful to pray for laborers to be sent into His harvest. It's truly right. Father, we thank Thee for the loved ones that are here today. We pray that You would give everyone safety as they return home or wherever they be going. And Father, we just thank You for the outpouring of Your Spirit at this entire meeting, for the loveliness of the characters involved and the sweetness of the way that this has been conducted. Pray Your blessings on this little assembly that You would bless Fuller Chapel here with everything she needs. Give us all revival. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.